in front of the child and follow whether the child will follow with the gaze, or if we present the test like this, whether the child will fixate on the lines. And we can make the lines finer and still finer. And I think now some of you in the back rows won't see any difference between the lines which are here and the gray surface which is here. And this way we can see the child's gaze either following, or then when the lines become too narrow, losing the fixation to the target. And we see what is the what are the finest lines that the child still can see. Quite often this so-called grating acuity is converted into optotype acuity. You see that being done in a number of places, but that... Aha. Well, we are waiting for that. We can still continue. You see in a number of writings, and you will see some of my colleagues giving the grating acuity values, the results of the grating acuity measurement. Until they can do. Can we get the light here? Okay, we discuss the grating acuity until we get the lights on this. Is there a translation? Yeah. Okay. So, a third time. You can see in a number of reports about this children's vision, grating acuity values converted into optotype acuity values. But I would like to warn you from that, because as we saw on Sunday when we examined a visually impaired child with brain damage here, the child's grating acuity was perfectly normal. It was a good adult value. And yet, the visual acuity measured with optotypes, with symbols, was very, very low. It was only 0.026 over 320 over 1,000, which is very, very little. Actually, it's difficult for you to think what it means. But when I show you that the child could see about this size of symbols at the distance of 10 centimeters, then you get an idea that the visual acuity was really low. Yet, the grating acuity value was normal, good normal adult value. And this is something you should always remember when dealing with visually impaired children. Now, can we get light here? Then we just have to go on without the overheads. When we measure visual acuity, we measure both distance visual acuity, but then we remember, especially in children, because all their important work is near here, to also measure at the distance of 40 centimeters and closer. Actually, the most important measurement in these children is to ask the child to hold the near vision card at the distance and angle that they prefer, wherever they can read best, and then ask them to show what is the smallest size of symbols they can still read. Because that will be the technique they will be using when reading. Now, when a child is getting close to reading age, and also earlier, it's interesting to see how much visual acuity changes when we go from the standard line test fashion to a more crowded fashion. because this is the type of information they will use when reading. The symbols will be in the first and second grade books about this 50% distance from each other. So we measure what is the visual acuity on this side. It may again be one or two or several lines worse than it was on this side. And that is the functional visual acuity that will be important for the child's schooling. In brain-damaged children, we very often see that if we measure their visual acuity at distance with signal symbols, it may be normal or very close to normal. If we then measure with a line test, it drops perhaps to one-third of what it was with signal symbols. Then if we measure with the same line test at near, it again drops one or two lines, and when of loss in visual functioning of these youngsters. And this will be something that will be very interesting in the future when this technique develops, but that is something that we have to wait at least four or five years. So far, we have not specified what kind of visual impairment we are dealing with. We usually divide the visual impairments to anterior and posterior, meaning anterior visual impairments are those which are related to eyes and optic nerves, and posterior are those which are behind the lateral geniculate body, where the first neuron, the nerve cell, gives the information to the second visual neuron. And because the problems related to the different parts of the visual pathway are different, these measurements that we just described describe the function of the anterior loss reasonably well, whereas we need more measurements if we have a person with brain damage. And then we have to pay attention to recognition, to visual motor functions even more than in the anterior losses, and spatial awareness. Especially in the very young children, but in all children with brain damage, one of the first things we have to find out is the visual sphere. This is actually very important in all visually impaired children because the area within which they can use their vision can be very limited. We then consider whether they have any anterior visual losses, and then have different recognition tasks to find out whether they have lost some specific areas of visual functioning in the visual cortex, the brain, the cortex of the brain that takes care of visual information. One of the important recognition tasks is recognition of faces. For that, we can both teach the child about the different expressions using a set of pictures, and then test whether the child can see the difference between these basic expressions. We can also and should use the family members and peers and parents as the subject to test how far the child can recognize a person. It's a specific function related to a small area of brain, can be lost separately, can also be present in children who otherwise function at much lower visual acuity level. If the child can do well at high contrast level, then we can measure at lower contrast to see whether contrast sensitivity is the limiting factor that the child cannot recognize people, because it may be related to just to contrast sensitivity, but it may be a specific loss also at high contrast levels. Then we measure things like how well the child can see difference between objects of differing length. A two-year-old child usually has no difficulty in telling which one of the blocks in the upper picture is longer. And if the child cannot do this visually, we can teach the child by using haptic information, his hands, that this we mean with longer and shorter, and if the child can then learn using haptic and tactile information the concept of longer and shorter, but still can't see, then we know that the child has a specific loss of visual functioning related to measurement of sizes, which of course will affect the schoolwork very specifically. In the lower picture, we have this plaything or test where we can then ask the child to put the card in the same direction where we have the slot. And by turning the slot, we can make the test situation to vary and see whether the child can see the direction and can recognize the direction correctly. If the child cannot do that, the next thing that we can do then is to say the child, no, you don't need to just put the card in the same direction, you just put it through the slot. And then we give the card in one direction and have the slot in another direction, and then we watch the child's hand. If the child who cannot turn the card here to the correct direction, but then when the task is to put it through the slot, turns it here, then we know that the parietal lobe up here can handle the visual information, can give the information to the hand movements, and the child is able to perform properly. But in the lower part of the temporal lobe, there is not the proper assessment or vision for the direction of lines. Again, a specific difficulty at school that we should be aware of. So as you see, there are a number of things that we should measure in children who have abnormal vision, and among them you will find some who seemingly function like sighted children in most situations, and then in some situations have very poor vision, and those are those who has lost their vision through brain damage. When we then start to collect our findings and summarize them for the individual educational plan, we have to consider the child's place in the classroom, the luminance level in the classroom, whether the child needs more or less. That means if he needs less, then he needs absorptive lenses. What is the communication distance that he can handle? What is his visual sphere? And then what is his hearing for information? In brain damaged children, those with CP especially, how much posture will affect the use of vision, and what kind of visual aids, visual devices the child can use, and what kind of specific materials we should recommend. So there are several areas in which each of them we have to go through our results and think, how do these results affect the child functioning in these different tasks. Thank you.